So I got a question for you. Have you ever had to take a stand? Have you ever had to stand up for something that you believe in? Yeah. And, you know, when we stand, it's normally because there's some sort of opposition facing us. So we have to muster up the courage, and we have to take action, and we have to stand against that opposition. You know, whenever I'm trying to lose weight, you know, I got to take a stand, right? And some of you, you know, maybe it's sweets or something, like, that's not really my thing. I got to stand against all the tasty, crunchy kind of snacks, like Doritos and potato chips and pretzels. And, like, don't even walk down that aisle when I'm at the grocery store, because those Doritos are going to be calling out my name. And you know, you feel like you got to start rebuking the enemy and, you know, get behind me, Satan. And another big source of opposition in that battle, at least for me, I'd say pizza. You know, I can remember the first time in my life when I really was serious about trying to lose some weight. I was in college, and, man, I was just way too heavy. And so I made up my mind that, I needed to do this. And, man, that wasn't easy. I was surrounded by roommates that ate pizza every night for supper. So that was a major thing, to take a stand against the pizza. And then I just have a genetic predisposition to ice cream that's just not even right. So... you know, or should I say generational curse, maybe. But, you know, the spirit of butter pecan just hits. But beyond that, our world, you know, it's filled with polluted with so many images that aren't Christ-like. And, you know, every day I have to take a stand for purity and for holiness. And I can't let that garbage into my mind and into my heart. I have to take a stand against anything that would hinder my relationship with God. See, we all have weaknesses and temptations, and we all have to face moments in our faith where we have to take a stand against things that would try to hinder where God desires us to be. And the only way we can live a God-honoring life is to take a stand. Now, in Acts chapter 4, we see some men who take a stand for their faith in Christ. So if you got your Bible, you know, you might want to get it out and look them up. I'm not as cool as Pastor Steve. I don't have a handy-dandy PowerPoint for you to just look up and read. So I'm going to make you dig it out and look it up for yourself. So again, Acts chapter 4. And, you know, if you're watching the AD series, you know, you're going to be pretty familiar with this story. So in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John standing up for Christ. Through God's power, they healed a man. And the Sadducees, you know, the religious people, they didn't like this. And they didn't like the message that they were preaching. So they arrested Peter and John and they put them on trial. But during the trial, they realized that they had no legal right to keep them. Now, before they let Peter and John go, though, they threatened them. And they threatened them pretty severe. So let's take a look at that threat and at Peter and John's response. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." You know, the religious men, they told Peter and John to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They told them to bow down and to denounce their faith in Christ. They told them to stop living out the very purpose that they were created for. And in this moment, after just being arrested, Peter and John, they stood up for Christ. Even though they were facing threats, they took a stand. And they told those leaders that they were going to keep on preaching and teaching Christ. Now in life, you know, we face many people and things. They try to get us to stop living for Christ too. This could be caused by, you know, a temptation, a relationship, a family member, a job, a friend, maybe some tragedy or unexpected circumstance. This is why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Paul wouldn't use that kind of verbiage if we weren't going to face opposition. People, places, things that try to get us to back down instead of to stand up. How many people know what I'm talking about? Peter and John, they faced major opposition. They were arrested, put in prison, threatened. They continued to stand for Christ. So let's look at what happened with them in Acts 4 and learn how we can stand for Christ no matter what life brings our way. So today, I want to give you three truths to help you stand firm in your faith when life comes at you full force. And the first one's this. Jesus is our foundation. In Acts 4, we see Peter and John take a strong stand for Christ in the face of people who wanted to throw them in prison and even destroy their lives. And one key reason Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Their lives were built on that solid rock of Christ. Now, look back in Acts 4 at verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no other name, or no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Peter believed that Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus was his everything. Jesus was his foundation. They were talking and walking in the name of Jesus. They knew that salvation was from no one else. Their lives were all about Jesus. He was their foundation. See, when Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what we face in life, we have that firm foundation to stand on. We can stand firm on Him. We can stand firm for Him. And we can walk in His strength, talk in His strength, live in His strength. Everything we are and do is all about Him. We all face trouble and opposition, right? But we can take a stand when Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is a cornerstone and a foundation that will never crack or grow weary. He's a cornerstone that makes a solid foundation for us to stand on 24/7. So when the storms of life come, Jesus is our foundation. I take a look at people that don't know Jesus and don't have that foundation in their life, and you know, how well do you see them standing? You know, it's just like Jesus taught, the wise man built his house on the rock. Jesus sees that foundation. Those storms of life, they're going to come. And you see the people that have built their house on the sand, and they might look like they're standing for a while, but you know, as the storms rage and the floods continue to rise, they're going to be wiped out. But just like Peter and John, we have to make Jesus our foundation, the cornerstone that we build our life on. So now the second truth out of this passage is that we have to obey God in the midst of opposition. You know, facing opposition in life, that's not a matter of if, but when. And that means that we're going to have a whole lot of opportunities to make that choice. We're either going to obey or disobey during those times. Now, God hasn't called us just to believe. Our faith, it has to be a vibrant, active faith that we live out. You know, Peter and John, they had that kind of vibrant, active faith. Look at Acts 4:18-20 again. "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about our problems.'" We cannot help speaking about our troubles. We can't help speaking about our pain, lack, or other. No. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen, what we've heard. What have you seen? What have you heard? Right? What are you talking about? Are you talking about all your troubles, all of your problems, all your pain, all your hurt? That's not what Peter and John were doing. They were talking about the things that they had seen and heard. That's Jesus. They just spent 3 years of their life with them, right? You know, we need to watch what it is that we can't help ourselves talking about. Are we talking about and confessing all our problems, all our troubles? Or are we talking about Jesus and who He is and how great He is? You know, they had a firsthand experience with Jesus, and they knew that they had something worth sharing. He said, we can't help talking about it. We have to have that firsthand experience. We have to have that with Jesus. We have to know that we have something that's worth sharing. That when we see somebody else facing that trial, facing that trouble, we can be there for them and offer them that voice of hope. Now this situation, this came down to whether Peter and John would stand and obey God or whether they would bow down and they would give in to fears or logic or doubt. See, it's real easy to fall into the trap where we know a lot, but we do little with what we know, especially in the face of opposition. So Peter and John here, they not only listened to God, but they also obeyed God, and they did what God told them, even to risk their own lives. And to stand firm in our faith, we have to do what James told us to do. He says we can't just be hearers of the word. We also must be doers of the word, regardless of opposition. We got to put feet to our faith and keep walking, even through the valley of the shadow of death. We got to keep walking through the rough terrain or the mountains of life. And we got to keep walking when those storms of life come against us. Every time I hear about the storms, I always think about that time, you know, when Jesus just, He fed the multitude, and He was dismissing the people, and He dismissed the disciples, right? And He told them, you get in the boat, and you go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to go up here and be by myself and be God for a little while. I'll meet you over there on the other side. And so you know the story. The disciples get out there in the middle of the lake, and what happens? A storm comes up. And the Bible said that the wind and the waves were against them. You know, they're right there. This isn't some metaphor storm of life. This is the real deal. And they're terrified. They're afraid. And then what do they see? Here comes Jesus. Jesus walking on the water. And to me, the picture of that, He's out there walking right on top of the very thing that was against them. He's walking right into the face of that wind that was blowing against them and threatening their lives and holding them back and keeping them from getting to where Jesus said for them to go. And here comes Jesus walking right on top of the very thing that was against them and hindering them and threatening to take their lives. And they saw Jesus coming, just showing His power, showing His authority over every opposition that comes against us. So, you know, I've found that one of the main challenges to obeying God in the midst of opposition is that we begin to wonder about the outcome. We start thinking, you know, will God help us? Will God come through in the way that we hope He will? I mean, or are we going to have to suffer for standing firm? And, you know, all you have to do is turn on the news for 5 minutes and you see the opposition that brothers and sisters are facing around the globe. We know that if God doesn't show up in the way that we want Him to, things could get real ugly real quick. And oftentimes, right, our flesh and our common sense, they battle against us. Right? We have to fight against that so that we can stand firm. For Peter and John, common sense would have been just to shut up about Jesus. Just to back off, just to be quiet. Just hush up a little bit, be cool, don't get thrown in prison, don't get beaten, or even worse, killed. You know, our flesh tells us to back up and back down. Our flesh, you know, says just go with the crowd, be popular, don't ruffle any feathers. But a major part of obeying God is standing firm and trusting God, even when it doesn't make sense. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Peter and John, they trusted God with all their hearts, and they didn't lean on their own understanding. They were all in for Jesus, no matter the cost. You know, I think back. I was saved when I was a young boy, and you know, I grew up in church and in a godly family, and you know, got into the teenage years and in high school, and you know, I can remember those times. I can remember the opposition and the peer pressure. I can remember plainly times of being, you know, laughed at and mocked and ridiculed and made fun of and provoked because I wouldn't go to their parties, or I wouldn't drink their beer, I wouldn't smoke their cigars, or I wouldn't dip their snuff. And you were laughed at, and they would call me a wimp. They would call me a sissy. They would call me a chicken. Because I was the only one. I was all alone at times and wouldn't give in to what everyone else was trying to get you to do. I was taking a stand. I was being strong, you know. But they'll call you chicken. They'll point you out. They'll laugh at you. They'll do those things. But what are you going to do? See, for me, standing for Jesus and living for Him, honoring Jesus, that was just more important than fitting in or being popular. Living for Christ isn't always easy. We will face opposition, but we must obey God in the midst of opposition and stand firm because He is worthy. Because He died for us, least we can do is live for Him. We must take a stand by being obedient. And the third truth in this story is when we stand for Jesus, He shines through us. Now, it's powerful to watch what happened to Peter and John when they stood firm in their faith. Acts 4:4 says, "But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Because they stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believed. Many people were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light because two men stood firm in their faith in the face of huge opposition." So when we stand, people see Jesus in us. And God will use our boldness to bring people into relationship with Him. These men, they stood firm in their faith, and the number of men grew to 5,000. Wow. One sermon that Peter preached, number grew to 5,000. Powerful things happen when we stand firm. When we stand firm in our faith, God will use our resolve to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. So I want to show you another way that God shines through us when we stand firm for Him. Acts 4:13. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Now they took note that these guys had been with Jesus. But what they didn't know was that Jesus was still with these men. Jesus was still with them. They thought they killed Him. Jesus was with these men. The Holy Spirit was alive and well in Peter and John. See, right there, they saw that they're just ordinary guys, but they had been with Jesus. And we see these people here that they hadn't yet crossed the line of faith. But they were amazed and they were astonished at the courage and the boldness of Peter and John. People who didn't even know Jesus were impacted by His gospel through the lives of two men who stood firm. The seed of the gospel was planted into the hearts of unbelievers because two men took a stand. And I think it's safe to say that some of those people ended up accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior too. And it all began because of the boldness of two men who came under attack. So we've got to stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ, because every time we do, the seed of the gospel is planted into the hearts of people. And when we stand firm, we're standing on the cornerstone, and Jesus is shining brightly through our lives. Our courage will encourage others, and it will astonish people as we point them to Jesus by standing firm on the foundation of Christ Jesus. And when we stand firm on Jesus, he'll also shine through our words and through our conversations. Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, this was after the day of Pentecost, right? You know, the Holy Spirit was already poured out, but it says they, after Peter and John were released from prison, they got back together and they prayed because of the threats that were made against Peter and John. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God, this is after Pentecost. They needed to be filled again. We need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the source of this power. This is how we can have the courage, have that boldness to stand firm, is in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we stand firm and then we pray, the power of God, it's released on our lives in a powerful way. God's power then gives us the courage to speak the Word of God boldly. So I encourage you to stand firm in your faith and then watch Jesus shine through your words and through your life. Now lastly, notice what happens there in Acts chapter 4 and verses 32 to 37. So all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So when we stand firm and for God and we pray to Him, Holy Spirit gives us power to stand together and let our light shine. God builds His church through people who stand firm on the solid foundation of Christ, who pray, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who stand together in faith. This is how God built the early church, and this is how God still builds His church today. He's looking for men and women who will stand for Him, no matter the opposition. And we got to stand so that He can shine through us. You know, thinking back, like I mentioned about, you know, those times being in high school and being, you know, just picked on and made fun of at times for being different, for following Jesus. You know, I can remember I was in ninth grade, and it was during the summertime, and they had this, what they call it, an open gym, where all the basketball players were expected to show up and just go in there and practice for a few hours together. And to say it was loosely supervised is kind of being generous. We were just a bunch of high school boys left inside the gym to goof off for a few hours. And you know, there was one activity that some of these guys liked to do to provoke me, you know. And what it was, they wanted to make me cuss, all right? They couldn't get me to cuss. And they just thought that made me the strangest kid they had ever seen, you know. What's wrong with this boy that he won't cuss? So, well, at this open gym, you know, they were doing this and egging me on, provoking and teasing and doing the whole thing. And then it just, for whatever reason, this night, it escalated, okay? And what ended up happening that night was they peeled my shirt off of me. And in the gym up there at Dayton High School, there's the stage at the one end of the court, you know. So they shoved me over here up against the stage, and it's up higher than what this altar is. But so they ripped my shirt off, and they had some of them jump up on that stage, and they grabbed a hold of my arms like this and had me all stretched out. And then they just all surrounded all these 12th grade boys, and they just, with open hands, they just took turns, wham, just slapping me all about the bare chest and bare back. Well, I went home that night covered with handshake welts and bruises. They couldn't make me cuss. That was what they were up to. You know, that was opposition. You know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to press past any opposition and give your life to Him. Peter and John, they left everything to follow Jesus. And once Jesus became their foundation, God used them to do mighty things that have literally impacted millions and millions of people. And when you surrender your life to Christ, not only will He forgive you, but He'll give you a new purpose for living and begin to use your life to advance His kingdom. You know, and you know, I told those, you know, that story. I don't mean to make it sound like, you know, I never gave in. I mean, there have been plenty of times where I've gave in to the temptation, but what I do want to tell you is when you've resolved to stand firm and you let the Holy Spirit just take over, He'll give you everything you need. He'll give you that courage. He'll give you that strength. He'll give you that power to stand up against that opposition. And you know what? That light did shine bright, because there have been times, even later on in life, as men, where some of these same boys have come back and said, you know what? I'm struggling with an addiction to marijuana. I can't quit. I don't know what to do. I don't know why I came to see you. Can you help me? I've had some of these same boys come back to me and have said, I don't know what to do. My marriage is on the verge of ending. I don't know where to turn. I don't know why I came to see you. Can you help me? I can't help them. But you know what? Holy Spirit living inside of me, He knows what to do for me. Let that light shine. Now, after you make the decision to give your life to Christ and stand with both feet firmly planted on Jesus, and as you stand on the solid rock of Christ, be committed to praying and reading God's Word, the Bible. As you pray to God and follow His Word, He'll give you strength, direction, and peace to make it through any challenge you face. He helped Peter and John. He'll help you too. And not only will He help you, but He will shine brightly through your life and use you to impact your family, your friends, your co-workers. He'll use you to be salt and light to the world around you. So every day for the rest of our lives, we will face circumstances and situations where we have to choose whether we will stand for Christ. Peter and John had every reason in the world to not stand for Christ. They were imprisoned, threatened, and their lives were endangered. They chose to stand. And God did powerful things in and through their lives. They were bright lights for Jesus. God wants you to be a bright light for Jesus. And just one other thing here about Peter and John and these apostles, and I know the youth have heard me talk about this different times, but you know, just watching this AD series kind of helped make it become even more real and give me a little a point of view and perspective in a way that I just haven't had before. But, you know, if you haven't reached a decision about Jesus Christ yet, if you haven't come to the place where it's settled as to whether or not He really is the Son of God, okay, just think about the apostles and their unique place in history. They were there with Jesus. They saw Him crucified. He was dead. He was put in that tomb. And then they went and they saw that empty tomb. And they saw that He was gone. And they saw Jesus appear to them
you know, right there. You know, he just walked right through. He appeared in the room even though the doors were locked. And he stood there among them and he ate with them, right? And he talked with them. And these same men that were just so afraid, so fearful, Peter denied Jesus. And they were trying to decide how they were going to get out of Jerusalem, how they were going to escape and run for their lives and save themselves. But yet these same guys, after Jesus appeared to them and his resurrected body, man, they turned into these absolutely fearless men who changed the world. Many of them, they did give their lives. They became martyrs. Now here's the thing, though. They were in that unique place in history where they had the ability to know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not Jesus actually was who he said he was. See, there's lots of people that have been martyrs for false gods, right? We see Muslims that are willing to go and blow themselves up in the name of their false god. So there's people that are willing to die even for a false religion. So you might think, well, what makes those disciples any different? Here's what makes them different. They were in a position to know whether or not Jesus was a liar. You see, if they had robbed Jesus' dead body somehow and tried to pull a hoax to make it look like he resurrected, they would know that it was false. They would know that it was a lie. Do you really think that those 11 men would all sign a suicide pact and all willingly lay down their lives for something that they knew that wasn't true? It wouldn't happen. See, they were in a position that they were with Jesus and they heard him say, "I am God's only Son. I will suffer, be crucified, and die. And on the third day, I will rise again." And they watched him do it and they knew that it was true without any shadow of a doubt. See, while he was still in that tomb, there was plenty of doubt, and they were ready to run and hide and just go back to fishing or collecting taxes or whatever it was they were doing. But after Jesus appeared to them, alive and well again, they knew that everything he said was absolutely true, and they were ready to lay down their lives for it. And, you know, that's one of the things that when I realized that, you know, besides what I knew in my heart, that whenever that kind of clicked in my mind as an older person, that was one of the things, when my faith really became my own, I just settled it that, man, Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And there's no other explanation other than the fact that he is God's one and only Son. He's alive and well today. He's living on the inside of me. So just think about that. If you haven't come to that place yet where it's settled, just think about that unique position of the apostles. And if you want to know more about that, pick up Lee Strobel's book, Case for Christ, because he explains it way better than what I ever could. So, at work, stand firm in your faith. At school, stand firm in your faith. Around your family, stand firm in your faith. When no one is watching, stand firm in your faith. In public, stand firm in your faith. In the face of opposition and adversity, and when all hell is breaking loose, stand firm in your faith. God is faithful, and he wants us to be a light everywhere we go. And remember, when we stand firm in our faith, God's light shines brightly through life.
Well, let's just thank God for everything he's done here today and everything that he's going to continue to do. So, God, we thank you. We praise you. God, you're so good. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we invite you once again just to fill us all fresh. God, we thank you for that power source, for that strength, for that courage, for that boldness, for that grace, for everything that you give to us, Holy Spirit, that will enable us to stand in the face of all opposition and and not just to stand in one place, but to go and to explore, to grow, and to walk into all the plans and purposes, the destiny that you have for each and every one of us. And so, God, we just look forward with anticipation to hear testimonies, God, of how you are shining brightly through us as we stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray.